Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first six issues in a collected hardcover volume one. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now.
Age of Radio.
There we go.
Hello.
I haven't been on Zoom in a very long time.
Yeah, I'm actually checking, making sure it's read. Oh, okay, cool. You can hear me and everything, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Looks like the levels are coming across according to the cloud. So is it just you, or is Kev joining us too? Or?
Kevin will not be joining us tonight.
Okay. How's he doing?
He's feeling better, but the wife kind of gave him the not tonight deal. So it's like I understand that.
Yeah. Just make sure everyone's okay, you know. I know.
Oh yeah.
I know it's 'tis the season where everybody gets sick. So
well, yeah, he was sick Sunday night. And so it's like, well, I guess we're not doing our Event Horizon review. And then yesterday he's like, okay, I can do it tonight. I'm like, wait, what? I just told everybody we're not doing it right now. So he scrambled and got it done, but
Love that movie.
And I know we watched the Guyver movie, but he's like, I can't do it tonight. I'm like, that's okay. I'll let Steve know.
That's cool. We'll just have fun without him.
Yep.
Well, now we're just getting the pup
ready
and distracted and all that, so he's not wanting to be apart.
Yeah, we just did a quick walk when Amy got home. Her drive from Phoenix can sometimes be a little nutty. And because if there's an accident, because she has to take the interstate, that automatically adds like 15, 20 minutes.
Yep. So where do you live in Arizona? Like an hour?
Casa Grande. We're south of Phoenix.
Wait, sorry. What was the city?
Casa Grande.
Oh, okay. I think I know that. I used to deal with hotels and stuff down the Phoenix area, but.
Okay.
But yeah, the suburbs, it's still kind of like, oh, I might have heard that one.
Casa Grande.
Yep. Yeah,
or that, yeah. That's what I called it until my wife started correcting me a few months ago. She's like, it's Casa Grande. I'm like, it's Casa Grande. No, it's Casa Grande.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know we were in the French part of Arizona.
I know, sorry. Right?
Arizona. Take that, French. Anyway. Speaking of French, I just found out Victor Wembanyama, the number one pick for the Spurs, my team, is now the brand ambassador for Louis Vuitton. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
So Louis Vuitton's going to start making extra talls?
Yeah, finally. Gosh.
Oh, wow.
I might have to consider, you know, taking a mortgage out of my house to get a suit from them or something.
Oh, geez.
Anyway.
It could be worse. It could be Trump shoes and...
Ugh, Jesus Christ.
All gold-plated or whatever.
Fuck. Guys, if you're getting a Trump shoe,
yeah,
just tell me all about it. Tell me it's made out of cardboard. Tell me it's, you know,
I know, right? Like, there's gotta be a catch with those.
Hit me up at EILF Movies and give me all the CD details. But Bobby from the Grind Bin, I know you're probably listening. Have $400 burning a hole in your pocket. By the way, I've been meaning to ask you. Sorry, yep. We started watching, after watching the Highlander series, we started watching Tracker, the Adrian Paul follow-up. Have you guys done an episode for that yet?
No, I might have to see where we can watch it, if it's on archive.
It's on Tubi. It's everywhere.
On Tubi. Okay.
Yeah. That's how we found it. We're about six episodes in, and I don't know, the last episode, it was an alien-possessed German shepherd that he had to take down. The twist is, it turns into a werewolf for a couple frames. It's a fantastically ridiculous series, so.
Oh, yeah, I watched it way back when it first aired, and I even interviewed April Telic before she went on that show, because she was on First Wave, and I got to, since I was visiting the set of First Wave back then, she happened to be the guest star that was on set at that time, and so I got to actually have like an actual interview with her. I could probably dig it out. I have an audio version somewhere, but I know it's in a print version because that's when I was doing a newsletter for First Wave, and they invited like me to the set, and I'm like, oh, really?
That's awesome.
But yeah, she's a total sweetheart. I used to have her contact information, but last I knew, her email got shut down, and I haven't heard from her in like several years. So it's like
she's been living on the lam ever since.
Or I'd be totally like, hey, I know somebody you might want to have on your podcast that actually was on that show.
Yes. Not just Adrian Paul or Forever Knight.
Oh, that'd be or that'd Turnbull. Be cool too.
Or Turnbull, yeah, that's right. It'll do yep. South too.
Yeah. Yeah, the cop she's dating in the show Due South, he played the idiot bounty. And so I'm like do something stupid. Do something stupid. Have a horse eat your hat. Come on. Did you see him knock it over and then grab
like,
it over?
Oh man, the top of that treat was delicious. Tip over rest. It's like, man, the frosting on this cake is great. Toss rest of cake in trash.
But jokes on him, there's more frosting in the bottom.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I made the dog some like puzzle treats. And he ate the top of the puzzle treat off, but now he's down to kibble. So he just knocked it over because he's just trying to get the treat that's on the bottom.
We don't do the puzzle treats anymore with our dogs. She just kept eating the puzzle.
Yeah. Apparently our dog's about as smart as a 6-year-old right now. He just wants the toy in the bottom of the cereal box.
And see, funny. Our dog is the opposite. He won't eat out of a regular bowl now. Like if I don't put it in something interesting, he stares at his food and goes on a 3-day hunger strike.
Oh, well, yeah. Ours sometimes revolts, too. It's like, okay, well, you're not eating anything else, then.
What kind of dog do you have?
German Shepherd.
Oh, yay! Whoa. We have an Australian Cattle Dog, Pit Bull, Walker Coonhound Husky mix.
Oh, okay.
All of the asshole breeds.
Just a real yep. dog pound gangbang.
Yeah, he came with a DNA test when we adopted him, and we joke okay. He's our white trash special.
Aww.
Because he looks like a border collie, but on the white, he's got blue speckles.
Oh, okay.
Ironically, he has no border collie in him.
Okay.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And this is Everything Other Than From Movies. And tonight.
Oh, tonight.
We are continuing Marky March.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Hamill this time around with 1991's The Guyver.
Oh.
Oh, but babe, we're not alone for this one. Oh, no, no. What? We had to bring in an expert.
Oh.
Oh, no.
And so we brought in Jeff from the Sudden Shadows podcast. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, thank you so much. Glad to be here. Well, we'll see how I feel in about 5 minutes, but
yeah. As we dissect his favorite movie ever. No,
totally.
So was this your first time watching The Guyver?
Actually, it is not. I watched this back in the college days because I was doing like some film study classes, and this isn't one of the required ones that I had watched, but I happened to be watching this on like the Sci-Fi channel at that time. And they were like airing a lot of these. So you're talking like 96, 97. And it totally fit with their old, you know, image of the channel of, hey, we're going to be giving you everything science fiction, anime, movies, nothing original yet. But it was still fun. And that was my first experience with it. And then I think there's a second one, correct?
There is.
That one I seem to remember a little bit more, but it's way more fuzzier than I had for this movie. But
Actually, yeah, I'm just picturing you taking that class, and it's like you're watching AMC, and it's like The Third Man, followed by Sunset Boulevard, followed by The Giver.
Yeah, we
Here
were
on
watching
American
things
Movie
like,
Classics.
yeah, it was more like we're gonna watch The Shining, we're gonna watch the original Halloween. Then we were watching like, they would alternate between like some horror movies just to learn like, cheap, effective filmmaking. And then we would watch some like timeless classics like The Maltese Falcon, things of that nature. So, and like Citizen Kane. So it was like every week on Mondays was movie night. So that was the hardest class I ever had in college to go to attend.
Oh
Nice.
man.
It's there every day.
Nice. Oh, babe, was this your first time watching MacGyver?
No, you and I watched this
That's right.
before.
We did about 6 months
Oh.
ago when we found out Mark Hamill had a live action career in the 90s nobody talks about ever.
We fell down a Mark Hamill rabbit hole,
Uh-oh.
and we may have been drinking, we may have been on Tubi, and just kept adding to our list Mark Hamill movies. And it turns out we're huge Mark Hamill fans.
He's not just the voice of the Joker, guys. But babe, I don't know about you. Before we get too deep into this, I'm a little thirsty.
Oh, well, I'm a little sober.
Excellent. Well, for this movie, gee, why'd you pick this one, Steve? We have from New Belgium Brewing their Voodoo Ranger Imperial IPA. Go, go, Voodoo
Ooh.
Ranger. And here, we'll use this one, my top.
Stop.
Nice. Jingly jingly keychain. And the pour. Oh.
Ooh, beautiful golden ale, a little bit cloudy. Has a white foamy head, lots of tiny bubbles that are dissipating quickly.
Cannibal just being quickly.
Probably due to the alcohol content.
Yeah, by the way, 9% alcohol by volume in this
There we
Imperial
go.
IPA.
Ah, that speaks my language.
Yeah. Oh, here we are. A rare blend of choice hops creates an explosion of fresh cut pine and citrus flavors for a complex, rich, and delicious finish.
Wow.
And going in for a sip.
Steve's drinking the beer, has a nice piney aroma. Steve's gone in for that sip.
Yeah, piney, yeah, a little citrus again, like the grapefruit kind of citrus, the pithy kind of citrusness, a little bit of dankness, but yeah, still just real nice and not quite earthy. I don't know. Yeah, it's a complex mix, you might say, on the side of a bottle. I don't know. Jeff, you drinking anything on your end?
Not tonight, but we have a nice selection of Sierra Nevadas in our mini fridge right behind me, and the mini fridge has been off for a day, so nothing's cold, or I would probably partake. But I'm a bit partial to the extra torpedoes; those are a little over 7%, and I'm an IPA guy, so I absolutely love it. And what you're drinking is one of my favorites, so.
Yeah, I think we tried this for the first time when we were in Colorado last year for the Great American Beer Festival. And we went to the New Belgian brewery and tried what was it, like 8 or 9 different
Oh no,
high point
like
IPAs.
18 or 19. We got
What
that
was that?
20 flight.
Oh,
Oh, that's right. We
that's.
each got 10. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
Oh
right. You
man,
got
my
one. I
wife
got one. Go
they
there. That's
came
right.
out with it double stacked.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
right.
And then we did the drinking tour.
I don't know why I don't remember that. So yeah, 9% alcohol by volume.
Steve, this reminds me of the first time we watched The Room.
Oh my gosh. So, all right. So I had never watched The Room. And so apparently, as it's told to me,
We did watch The
we
Room.
did watch The Room,
It was
but
the night Steve found a recipe online for a drink called Mangrias, and it was red wine, orange juice, and vodka. And Steve mixed it up and poured it into pint glasses for us.
That's right.
And Steve does not remember the rest of that night.
No, yeah, a couple months ago, I'm like, hey, we should finally watch this movie, The Room. And Izzy was like, what, you
We've
mean the
seen
one we watched like 2 months ago? Like, fuck are you talking about? What's it even
it.
about? Yeah.
Yeah,
And by about the third sex scene, I'm like, yeah, I don't remember a single thing of this. But
that'll do it.
yeah, there you go. Voodoo Ranger, New Belgium, Imperial IPA. There we go. So 1991's The Giver. Oh boy. From
Yeah.
director Screaming Mad George.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Because wow. This is the only thing he direct. Well, th this in a short, the only thing he's credited as a director, but babe, he's been on the podcast before because he's a special effects guy for movies like Predator, Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, Arena, Bride of Reanimator, Silent Night, Deadly Night 4 and 5, Children of the Corn 3, Urban Harvest, Space Truckers. Hey, there we go.
Hey.
Beyond Animator, This Is the End. And he's also the makeup department for Society.
Oh,
The
society.
master of the shunting Mad George, they call him.
Let the shunting begin.
The thrill of the hunt and the taste of
That's right. Oh, he's also
the
makeup department for Spaceballs. Jack Frost, the horror one, not the Michael Keaton
shunt.
one.
I hate that we have to distinguish those now.
Well, they're so similar. That's the thing.
Like there was another one. It wasn't Reindeer Games, it was something like that. They did another one. But anyway, yeah, Jack
Oh,
Frost.
well. But he's also credited for makeup department in NSYNC's It's Gonna Be Me video. So I'm assuming he did the Justin Timberlake makeup.
There you
It
go.
it's gonna be me.
It's gonna be me.
Oh, but this was co-directed by Steve Wang.
Who's he, Steve?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Well, he directed this. Kung Fu Rascals, I assume it's the sequel to Little Rascals.
Alrighty.
The sequel to this, Guyver colon Dark War, Dark Hero, sorry, Dark Hero, Drive, from 1997, not the Ryan Gosling one.
Mark Dacascos one. Isn't that the Mark Dacascos drive?
Oh shit, is it? I don't know. I just have it written down. That's 97.
I'm pretty sure it's that one. I have that in my collection. Oh
Steve,
hell
you
yeah,
love
dude.
Mark Dacascos. How do you not know about this?
Hey, everybody loves Mark Dacascos. He just made so much stuff in the 90s.
Do we need to fall down a Dacascos hole?
I'm
Hey, then you're
sorry,
gonna end up watching The
Marky
Crow, the
Mark
TV show.
Dacascos, you might say. Coming next year. What else? Oh yeah, 16 episodes of Kamen Rider colon Dragon Knight and creature effects for Harry and the Hendersons, Predator, Monster Squad, Hell Comes to Frogtown, Deep Star 6, Arena, Gremlins 2, This, Devil's Advocate, Idle Hands, Bicentennial Man, Reign of Fire, Underworld, Blade Trinity, Lady in the Water, AVP Requiem, and Bill and Ted Face the Music. So there you go. Still kicking it. See, and this is, of course, based on characters by Toshiki Takaya.
Who's he, Steve?
Basically, all he's credited on IMDb for is this. The Guyver manga. Or ma manga?
Yeah.
Manja?
Manga.
Manga. Okay,
Yes,
yeah.
manga.
Manga. Why everybody want to poke manga? Anyway. Screenplay by John Purdy. Who's he? He did this, Reflection of a Crime, and Star Patrol. But he also directed Unabomber colon The True Story and 2002's Joshua. Simply both
You're
left
ready?
going. Yeah. Oh yes, I've seen this. Sorry, wife was showing me about Carl's Jr. and the Godzilla and Kong burgers and
Yes.
Scar
God.
fries, apparently.
But
Yeah.
did you see the
Oh
commentary?
yeah. I saw Bob's comments. Yeah. By the way, coming March 29th, guess who's going to be there opening weekend? This guy. But alas, not a star in the sky, for they're all in this movie. For the real hero of this movie, Mark Hamill as Max Reed.
Who's he, Steve?
You might know him from Slipstream, Midnight Ride. He was Cockknocker in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, the voice of the Joker, the Trickster, I think.
Yeah.
And the Flash show.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. That's all you would know him from.
That's it. Yeah. Kind of a character actor.
I got one more. Corvette Summer from 1970.
Oh yes, Corvette Summer 79, when that came
Yeah,
out.
I'm a little fuzzy on the year, but I remember that movie. It's all about Corvette, so I gotta have it. So
Oh, Annie Potts.
yes.
Yeah.
That's actually a very good movie for anybody who hasn't seen it. Like, it's worth
Oh.
checking out for a young Mark Hamill that is actually putting in the work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and we talked about it with Grand Touring Motorsports about a year ago. So yeah, guys, find that episode and I'm pretty sure it's
Yes.
got to be streaming free somewhere. Like it's a fun little movie.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah.
But also starring this movie, J.J. Walker as Stryker.
Who's he, Steve?
Let's see. You might know him from how was it, like a Life Alert commercial that he keeps popping up on?
I'm
Hey, remember me and
Bobbin.
J.J. Walker from What's Happening? Dynamite. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not Life Alert. I think it's for like
For
insurance.
like reverse mortgages or something. Stuff
Something like that.
like
Yeah.
that. Also Michael Berryman as Lisker.
Who's he?
Who's he,
The Hills Have Eyes, Voyage of the Rock Aliens, Weird Science. He's in stuff, you know, he's that guy. Oh God, here's a real test. Jack Armstrong as Sean Barker, aka the Guyver. Who's he? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Steve? I assume he goes to the same dojo as all of the guys from Miami Connection.
Ooh, nice reference.
I was thinking more of a no retreat, no surrender kind of
You know what? Yeah, he doesn't have the kind of notoriety.
guy. Also starring in this movie, we have Vivian Wu as Mizuki Sagawa.
Who's she, Steve?
Let's see. We know her from an episode of Highlander. I believe she was also the love interest in a Dolph Lundgren movie starring Cary Terabuki Hagawa as a dictator. God damn it, what was the name of that movie? It's not Red Scorpion, but it's around that time frame.
Ooh.
Not the sweeper. Damn it. Guys, look it up.
I
It's
know
great.
this too. Oh
It's
my
coming
God.
soon. It's on Tubi,
Yeah.
along with every other Dolph Lundgren movie. David Gale as Fulton Balkis. Who's he? Reanimator. That's about all I know
Yeah,
him from.
but he's not the only one from
That's
Reanimator.
right. Jeffrey Combs as Dr. East. Who's he?
Dr. East.
Dr. East, not Dr. West. Exactly. Hold on, dog's being a little bit of a bitch.
He can't figure out which toy to take outside with him. Is I?
Zeus, you're an asshole. Stop it. Steve, what do you mean
Oh, I
to
know. I haven't given him this podcast a treat.
me? Oh, geez. Like when you guys talk into that thing, you usually give me a little something.
He gets the good chewy when we podcast. My mistake.
Like the look away, like, oh no, I couldn't possibly. Ow.
How he learned that. If you go to hand him a really good treat, it's only the really good ones. He sniffs it and then he like looks away like, no, I couldn't. And then he turns around really fast and snatches it.
And of course, the last one I want to bring up, Dame Linnea Quigley as Scream Queen. See, I don't
Yeah.
think she's English. Yeah, well, you know. Who's she? Every horror movie since 1986. Pretty
Yeah.
much. At least every good one. I don't know. Pretty sure she was in Demon Wind. Yeah, I don't know.
But she
Guys, you
didn't
know
have to take
Linnea
her
Quigley.
shirt off for this one.
I know, right? I was disappointed too. That's what you were saying, right? But she does get to show off her lungs.
Yeah.
All right. Jeff, how did you watch this one?
I watched this one off of archive.org, actually, which is basically like a library online for, you know, movies that have movies and shows and any sort of internet things that are difficult to find and are not like copyright restricted. If they are, they get pulled like the second they get a request. But I watched it off of that. And I do know that Unearthed Films is putting out a brand new 4K release of this in a few months. So
Oh
anybody
shit.
who wants to see this in a physical format, get off that horrible DVD you used to have or a VHS tape. It's getting put out on 4K in a few months.
Nice. That's actually kind of good to know, because yeah, we kind of like this one. But yeah, archive.org, or you can also find it on the Blood Bank. What's that, Steve? Go to patreon.com/bloodybits, and for $10 a month, you get access to the Blood Bank with over 8,000 hard-to-find movies. Yeah, all available streaming. It's pretty sweet. Check it out. Bloody Bits Horror Show. Tell them Steve sent you. They'll be like,
That
who?
sounds even better than archive, actually.
Oh yeah. The quality
I
on
should
this
have checked
one.
with you know.
Yeah, I say I think this was like a at least like a DVD rip or something. Like it was pretty decent for the most part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But So, okay, best part about this movie, we hard cut into basically the an explanation of like the beginning of Dune or something. It's like, okay, in the beginning of time, there were aliens that created the ultimate weapon, mankind. Then they crossed their genes with man to make Zoonoids, which are monster soldiers. Zoonoids are also, let's see, fuck, I can't read my writing, god damn it. Oh yeah, they also founded Kronos Corp for world domination. Oh, there's also this thing called a unit that's a bio armor that becomes the Gypher. And a Dr. Sagawa has stolen it to keep it away from the Zoa Lords. Everybody caught up? All right, we're ready to start the movie.
Steve had as many notes in this like 2 minute thing
Yeah.
as he has had for entire movies.
Yeah. Yeah, so then we cut to good old JJ Jimmy Walker, and person has to write down as Tubbs for the longest time. They're just I don't know. They're chasing after this Dr. Sagawa, who's got a little lunch pail with him, and they chase him down into the LA River. And they get a hold of him, but he's stashed the contents somewhere, so they can't get to it. And then a van pulls up with Michael Behrman and a wrestler chick. I believe that's Spice Williams. I don't know, but yeah, these kind of show up and they're like, "Hey, we're gonna take this suitcase." And yeah, Jeff, what happens?
Well, they find out that he's down on the riverbanks, and he's like, "I gotta change out the armor, so I'm gonna swap out the armor from the briefcase, put a crap out toaster in there, and I'm gonna put the armor in a lunchbox that looks like something that I had as a kid, and just kind of sets it next to a newspaper stand that for some reason is just down there and hightails it." And then later on, you find out where the armor ends up in somebody's hands.
Yeah. And then down the LA River, they catch up to Sagawa. And then Michael Berryman turns into the creature from the Black Lagoon. Or no, Sagawa turns into the creature from the Black Lagoon. That's right.
Yeah. By the way, I love his costume.
Yeah,
Like,
all
all
the
the
costumes
costumes
in
are
this are
great.
crazy. I
But
love it.
I really love his like angry catfish outfit.
Yeah.
Like
That's a
angry
good
catfish
description.
axolotl.
And Behrman's like, "I'll see that, and I'll raise you, I don't know, Predaceratops or some shit."
Something like
And
that, yeah.
then, yeah, it ends with Michael Behrman squishing the head of, I don't know, Catfish Man, for the Koi Avenger. I don't know, but and then he just starts deflating like a fucking balloon or something. And yeah, roll credits, guys. What do we think of the guy? No.
Movie
But
over.
then we go to Wang's Aikido Dojo or whatever, and we see some sparring going on. And yeah, it's your typical no retreat, no surrender, early 90s dojo kind of thing going on. And Mark Hamill walks in. He he finds this girl, and we found out her name's Mizky, Mizky. And he's like, "Hey, I'm looking for Mizuki Sagawa." He's like, "Oh yeah, that's me." Like, "Oh, I gotta talk to you in the office here for a sec." And basically, he ends up dropping the bomb. So your dad's dead. He also stole something from Kronos Corp or whatever and was gonna bring it to me, but I have no idea what it was. You know anything about this, maybe? And she's like, "What? My father's dead?" Like, "Oh, yeah. Skipping past that part, though. Do you know about this other thing?" I don't know. Meanwhile, like in the dojo, there's this guy, Sean, a typical white guy.
Real typical.
He's kind of just staring and like watching like through the window, like what's going on in there. And I feel like they had to add the ADR afterwards to kind of show what they were talking about, because I don't know, the acting just wasn't doing anything. Like it could have been anything they were saying, and they're just, I don't know, kind of blankly staring. Yeah, kind of a weird thought I had.
Yeah.
But oh yeah, that's right. Mark Hamill starts going to, "Yeah, so I was waiting there by the LA River, and I heard a noise down there, and I saw your dad, from a distance," and it's like, yeah, like a mile down or whatever.
Yeah.
But by the time I got down there, yeah, he was just a bloody fucking mess. I don't know what to tell you. Like it was a pile of steaming fish guts or something. It was pretty violent. Like, oh, Jesus, calm down, Mark. But Sean, he's like trying to eavesdrop or read lips or something, but then the sensei sees he's not paying attention. It's like, hey, why don't you come on up here and show me the move I just did? And he's like, yeah, sure, yeah. He gets popped in the fucking face. And like, yeah, maybe next time you need to pay attention. And they get up again, and he gets popped in the face again when he's like seeing Mark Hamill leave, and she's like distraught or whatever. And so yeah, they start just rolling around the ground, fighting a bit. Arr! And then okay, so the sensei of this place is it's a lady, just a pretty average looking lady. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but she comes over. And she's basically like, hey. You need to learn to control your temper. And then I swear she said, nothing I teach you here is gonna help out there. And I'm like, oh, at least she's honest.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. So then we cut to Credicorp, and there's evil white doctor. No, doctor, the doctor from Reanimator, the evil one. He's being delivered the suitcase by Michael Behrman, and he opens it up. Oh no, it's a toaster, you bastard, what have you done? And then so he just starts staring angrily at Michael Behrman, and then Michael starts kicking his own ass, just like slapping the shit out of himself and all that. And I'm like, I'm guessing this is the power this guy has. That's cool. It's a shame that wasn't part of the opening narration or whatever, but it happens.
He will make you slap yourself silly.
That's right. Go find it, or I'll make you slap yourself into oblivion. And then, okay, this is where the first time I've written down these like comic book wipes or whatever that come in like the end of every scene where it's
Actually really like that.
yeah, it's like a thunderbolt comes in and then I don't know, turn the page. But yeah, it's kind of great. And then so we see the comic book wipe, and then Sean pulls up to a crime scene on his moped, because that's right, he drives a moped in this thing.
Total
And
badass move.
he gets there and he's like, Miski, is everything okay? What's going on here? And she's like, yeah, so my dad died and my mom died a while ago, so I'm an orphan, and I don't know. I'm sorry I didn't, I don't know, tell you everything before I left. Maybe we can have dinner tomorrow instead or something. I don't know. Some craziness like that. But we also find out Max Reed, Mark Hamill, he's there like kind of investigating it. And then I guess the real cops show up or something, because they're like, Max, what the hell are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be on leave or something? He's like, oh yeah, just hanging out here at the Helly River in my free time. No big deal, right? But I don't know, yeah, Sean's, I think he's going back to like his moped or whatever, and he finds this lunchbox, and he's like, "Huh, I wonder what's in here," and opens it up, and there's the unit. Which, God, how would you describe the unit?
Almost looks like a couple of frisbees kind of braced together with a something that looks like something out of Star Trek, you know. Kind of just looks
Yeah.
like a gear coil or even a wheelbarrow wheel kind of wrapped up in metal.
My fat ass thought it looked like a couple of pie tins with a dog toy in the middle.
Yeah, that works too.
I mean, yeah, not wrong.
If it works, don't knock it till you try it.
The black Kong dog toys, the
Oh yeah.
indestructible ones you
Yeah,
put the
yeah.
peanut butter in?
Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah,
The
that's the one in
structural
the middle.
center of
Yeah,
the
exactly. Which works out because he's about to chew on it.
pipe skin.
Yeah, so then we cut to Miski's house. And she's there with Max Reed, and he's like, hey, so yeah, like I mentioned, my father was bringing me something called the Guyver. Do you know what that is? And she's like, what? No, I've never heard of anything. MacGyver? Like the Richard Dean Anderson show? No, it's a completely different thing. And this raise, he's like, yeah, I don't know anything my dad would have ever worked on or, whatever. Like yeah,
Yeah, like
he signs an
if somebody,
NDA.
like, here's the thing, my dad's worked on a lot of shit. If somebody showed up at my house and was like, your dad owes us money or a product, I'd be like, yeah, get a fucking line. That's everybody. I believe it's recorded on Wikipedia at this point. Okay, well,
Yep.
we need the plans to this. Yeah, good fucking luck. I got C's in school. You think he talks to me?
By the way, if someone came up and was like, "Your dad said he was working on the most dangerous tech since the atom bomb," would you be like, "Yeah, probably. I don't know."
No, actually, my thing would be like, well, your first mistake was trusting Todd.
Yeah, no shit. You'd be like, God, I hope not.
Look, if
That
the
dumb
guy,
bastard.
you should ask the producers of War Games how that went. I believe he still owes them
Ooh.
money.
Yeah. But then, knock, knock, who's that at the door? And I love how, like, Mark Hamill, like, instantly, like, knock, knock, pulls out his gun, is like, aim, and she's like, no, it's okay. It's probably a neighbor or something. Calm down. Oh, hey, Sean, how's it going? And he's like, hey, so we were supposed to, like, meet up or something, right? Like, oh, yeah, sorry again, my dad died. So, you know, things going on. And then, I don't know, Sean looks in and sees Mark Hamill, like, I don't know, kind of trying to hide, but there's this weirdly placed mirror where, like, you can see around a corner or whatever. And he's like, oh, I see what's going on here. You want a little bit of that Skywalker? All right. I'll just meet up with you some other time. Bye. And then he, peels off on his moped. And then we cut to a scene where the bad guys, Michael Berryman, J.J. Walker, right? They're just, I don't know, raiding a bunch of homeless people and just being like, hey, have you seen this thing? Have you seen this thing? We don't know what it looks like. Have you seen this thing? It's just kind of pushing them out of the way. And then, oh god damn it, we get the first of, I'm gonna say entirely too many, which is really one or more, of JJ Walker doing some of the worst bars in the history of rap.
Oh God, yeah.
And I'm not even gonna repeat them, guys. I might
Yeah,
add some at the
don't.
end of the episode just to make you guys change the channel, but no. But I do love how Michael Berryman like stops him after like four bars and is like, "Hey, get back to work. This is bullshit. Enough of that."
He knew enough.
Yeah. But then Sean, I don't know, his moped just dies in an alley somewhere, as is tradition. I don't know why he was going through the alley in it anyway, but you know.
Right.
But some guy pops out of the boxes behind him and is like, hey, I can help you with that, man. Why don't we have a look at it? He's like, no, back off, man. I'm a karate master. And he, I don't know, it does.
He does a pose that's way too open. He's asking to get
Yeah.
his ass kicked.
It's the slightly aggressive swan, I believe, is the position he
Yeah, but
takes.
he's like not protecting himself in any way, shape, or form. Like, look, I am not a girl who works out. I know how to protect myself. I took women's self-defense.
There you go.
You don't leave your boobs open.
That's right. Well, how you trick them with the invitation of the boobs, and then you strike from the sides.
No, babe, you
Da-na-ga.
trick them with the invitation of like, look, you could shoot me, or do you like blowjobs? Then
What?
you kick them in the
Ooh.
nuts.
You would have been better off trying to do the cobra from Dodgeball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boom, boom. Yeah, but then I don't know, after he starts trying to rough up this first guy, like talk of being game, then all of a sudden four of his buddies come out from behind the boxes and it's like, oh shit, it's 5-on-1. So yeah, I don't know, the guy gets like roughed up or some shit, and then as he's getting his ass handed to him, the unit falls out of his pocket or whatever and onto the ground, and then I don't know, he gets kicked in the ass so hard it launches his face into it. So, and then this is where the movie gets really crazy, because all of a sudden the thing starts opening up, and I don't know, like all these vines or I don't know, veins or whatever start coming out and like taking over his body. And I'm like, if I'm one of those five guys seeing this shit go down, I just run away immediately. I'm like, well, he's dead. But yeah, then he, Sean, he basically turns into like the Power Ranger from hell. Like he's, I don't know, it's a pretty impressive little costume, but yeah, it's very Power Ranger-esque with, I don't know, almost like an alien kind of head. I don't know. Like it's.
Yeah, it's sort of like the oh, who was the pretend model from high school, and he like Mr. Bones, but he just was like muscles, like with no skin. It's got a lot of muscly patches.
The fuck are you talking
Did you
about?
know? Oh, there was
Don't
like
ask me,
Mr.
because I'm
Bones.
lost too.
And he was a little
He's
skeleton
the fake
dude.
model guy from high school who was Mr. Bones, but muscles. What? You're
wasn't
raving, babe.
there. Like, I went to a school where they drug an actual drunk driving crash into our center quad and then picked a bunch of kids to play dead people for a week. So, I don't know. I went to a fundamental high school.
Apparently, I don't know. Wow. But just like a amount of muscles or so, like
No,
what,
so
like
there's.
slim good body? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I think
Oh, is that
so.
seriously what you were talking
I think
about?
so, yes. Mr. Bones was the bone version of him.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I mean, yeah, kind of. Yeah, but yeah, a little more ripped, and I don't know, almost like insect exoskeleton kind of.
Yeah, he definitely has like a hornet face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There we go. But yeah, then he starts fighting back and whooping everybody's ass, and one of the guys pulls out nunchucks. Oh yeah, that's right. What one of the guys? Okay, one of the five guys. Was it not the guy that popped him twice in the dojo earlier when he wasn't paying attention?
It looked like it.
Yeah.
I
See,
wasn't entirely sure though.
it looked like him just in the dojo, like his hair was, like pat down to his shoulders and stuff, and, just the Asian
Yeah.
guy. But in this one, he was like, I don't know, they were all dressed up like Chicano, like with
Oh
the
my
top button on
God.
the button up shirt.
The East LA
Yeah.
West Side. It's the worst look. It's the
They were
worst look.
not real gangsters. They were not
What?
hard.
What? What? I'm pretty sure I saw Post Malone in this group.
They can't even crip walk. What are you?
No, babe, because they're bloods or what is yellow? The
So he starts whooping everybody's ass. I don't know, one of them pulls out a gun and he finds out he's bulletproof, and we're like, oh, that's pretty sweet. He also finds out he has these elbow spikes. And I don't know, he uses them to like scare the shit out of one of them. But then he like grabs a hubcap, and Sean sees his reflection now that he's this, kind of alien insect looking creature. He's like, oh my God, what happened to me? Ah! And I don't know, he like fucking screams and everybody runs away, but then the bio armor or whatever, like I don't know, just like peels off him and goes into like two holes in the back of his neck. And
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
that's gotta hurt, right? Like I don't know the technology involved here, but so anyway, yeah, we come back to the baddies, Michael Behrman, J.J. Walker, and all them. They ain't found shit. But then one of them says, like, hey, maybe his daughter knows. Oh yeah, shit. Can't believe we haven't thought about that before. Let's go find out. And then so we cut to the next morning, and Sean just like wakes up in bed, and he's kind of doing the whole like oh man, that was the craziest dream, like that kind of reaction. But I have read out he wakes up like fucking Spider-Man, like he wakes up, like looks in the mirror and expect him to be like, when did I get abs? Why can I see? Where are my glasses? Like that whole kind of thing.
Let's go, Spider-Man.
Sees little hairs coming out of his fingertips. No, I don't know. But yeah, then we cut back to Chronocorp, and Reed's like leaving Chronocorp with like two, I don't know, FBI guys or something, and they're basically like, look, Reed, you can't get involved. This isn't your case, and you don't have any proof. Like, these guys will sue the shit out of the department or whatever, blah blah blah. Just go enjoy your vacation, or 6 month abs suspension without pay or whatever it is you're on. And he's like, I'm gonna get to the bottom of this, guys. And say so he like hops into his car, and they're like, where are you going? He's like, I'm gonna go find enough rope to hang myself with. Huh? I know it's a reference to something said earlier in the movie, but it was like, oh, okay. See you at the hardware store. I don't know. So Sean goes to Miski's again. Oh wait, and then this is when she says that her father was killed, and that's why she's been so weird. Okay. That makes a little more sense then. I swear that was like the first conversation, like when he saw him down by the LA River, but I don't know. Whatever. And then they start talking, and there's like some drama going on, but me and Izzy were just too focused looking around her goddamn apartment because the artwork is like, I don't know if it was people dancing or whatever, but it was like a very nearly nude woman being held out like flat on her back, but it was like two hands holding her up. And I'm like,
Yeah. And then on another
what?
wall, she has a painting of somebody's dog.
Yeah. And then there's one of those it's the fucking black and white like dream catcher looking mask from the movie The Mask, you know, 4 years later.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is like somebody's like prop room, just kind of like, quick, clear out some chairs and put the rest of the stuff on the wall. I don't a very eccentric collection she had there.
Not very feng shui.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's like, oh, that's right. They're like kind of slowly going in, like to, I don't know, they're feeling each other, whatever, and they're like getting ready to kiss, or I don't know, maybe she realized he has abs or something now. I don't know what. But it's like, knock, knock. Who is it? Oh, it's the karate instructor lady. Cause she's just bringing books by, and Sean's like, I better go. And Missy's like, no, you can stay. She's not going to be long. Right, karate instructor lady, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
He's like, no, I'm gonna go get some food, and you know, we can come back and you know, talk our brains out, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, as he's like leaving the apartment building, he bumps into one of the baddies, and then we cut to nighttime, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude, how long does it take to get food?
Well, he said he was gonna go get dinner, so I'm guessing he was leaving at like sunset. I don't
Oh,
know.
maybe it was like 6, and the sun was setting at 6:08, and now it's
Yeah,
6:20. Es
exactly. So you
posible.
get
Oh, es posible. It's possible.
There we go.
it.
But yeah, he's I don't know, taking it back up there. And oh, that we see the baddies. They're like taking out someone wrapped up in a rug, and I'm like, oh shit, oh, such a rug. But Shawnee walks up and gets back to the apartment, and oh no, karate instructor lady's dead. Miski, where's Miski? And he goes running downstairs to like where they're in the alley, like loading her up in the back of a van. But then you know, Mark Hamill shows up, and he's like, hey guys, what you doing here? In this van, definitely not with a body in the back that I can see. Oh shit! And he like pulls the gun, and I don't know. Sean like clocked JJ Walker with a bottle or something to like kind of help out. I don't know. So shit happens, and Miski, Sean, and Max Reed, they go running them down the alley, and you know, da 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 da, and they run and they jump over this wall into like the middle of a movie set.
Yeah.
And then JJ Walker, you know, he got knocked out with a bottle or whatever. He gets up, he's running, and he's like far behind because you know he's in his early 50s or whatever, and he's like, you know what, screw this. And then he transforms into some fucking, I don't know, slightly racist bat monster. I don't know what it was supposed to be, but then he can run super fast, and so he catches up and he jumps over the wall and he lands in front of Linnea Quigley, and she screams, ah! For like a solid fucking minute.
Oh, she does the scream queen scream. It's great.
Yep. She earned her paycheck.
Yeah. And then you know, JJ Walker's like, what the hell is going on? What are you doing, lady? And then the director comes in, he's like, look, she's supposed to be scared of you. You're not supposed to be afraid of her. Come on, man. Focus. But then yeah, the chase continues. Ha ha. And they follow him into like this warehouse, and then all the baddies transform into their, I don't know, mutant form or whatever, is it
Yeah.
Xenomorph form or whatever. And
I love how they did such a good job on all of these costumes. You can tell that they're sort of all the same species, but no two of them look exactly the same. Like,
right,
yeah.
yeah. Does anybody have a favorite so far?
I mean, the original Doctor, I think I just really liked his design. I do like the girl one. She's kind of like a mauve pink. Like really
Yeah.
fuzzy. She's the fuzziest one.
Yeah, what shit. There is it Labyrinth that has the kind of, I don't know, oafy looking creature that kind of looked like her. Like I know it's like an 80s fantasy movie that I've seen like once or twice, but
No,
you
I
look like
think.
something out of Big Trouble in Little China to
Yeah,
me, but
she looks like that.
yeah. You just, I guess,
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
she's
I
a
know
lot
what you're talking
bigger
about. No,
than
it's not Dark Crystal.
No,
I don't think it's Legend.
Labyrinth.
Oh, sorry, not I think it is Dark Crystal. I don't think
Oh,
it's
maybe it's
Labyrinth.
Darkness
Labyrinth
also.
has the like, I mean, it has a bunch of Muppets, but
Yeah.
like, I think you're sort of thinking the neon pink headless flamingo guys whose heads
No,
pop off.
no, no, no. No, it's seriously like an orange colored like sloth guy. He has like the horns, like one kind of like goes up to the side, the other one kind of
Oh.
down. He's like, Guys, hit me up at EILF Movies on Twitter, Facebook, Patreon, or Blueski, and let me know.
All
Oh
right, I'm
my
gonna
God.
Google it. You guys keep
You know, I'm
talking.
boggled by that one.
All right. I also watched a lot of really obscure ones growing up here in Utah, so it could be like something from Fraggle Rock or some shit. I don't know. But so yeah, so they're like searching around looking for him and like smelling. I think they're this way. It smells like humans over here. And then I don't know. Max Reed shoots JJ in the fucking face. Blah! But then I don't know. He gets slapped down some
Not
stairs.
that guy, right?
No.
Okay.
Hold on. I'm gonna try Googling something real quick. That guy.
Oh, Lu okay.
Ludo from
Ludo. Okay,
Labyrinth.
he's from Labyrinth. All right. Alrighty.
My wife probably could have answered that one. It's
Okay.
one of her favorite movies, though. That and Dark Crystal.
See, I didn't
Nice.
see any of those till high school, but I was watching when I was a kid. My favorite movie was Big Trouble in Little China, so.
There you go.
There you go. So they start fighting around. I don't know. Sean and Mitski get kind of nabbed, but then I don't know. Sean also ends up dropping a crate on JJ Walker. I'm sure the feds show up and oh, they transform too. Oh no, they're bad guys, everybody.
What?
So,
Spoiler alert.
right? So then Sean, I don't know, he gets a point where like they have a hold of Miski and he's like, let her go. And they're like, no, dumbass. Now tell us where the Guyver is. And he gets in his ridiculous karate pose. And they're like, look, dude, just tell us where the Guyver is. And I don't know. I think JJ Walker is like, I'll take care of this bitch. And I don't know. Oh no, that's right. And Michael Behrman like slaps Miski. And that's when Sean's like, no. And then he like says, I am the Guyver and transforms. Like, and by transform, I mean, I don't know, a bunch of shit shoots out the back of his neck and then covers his body.
It's like a boomerang effect. Everything just flies out and then pulls right back in like a rubber band or something.
Yeah. Shit, it's a lot like Iron Man. Like when he, I don't know, he has like the little backpack or whatever, and like, I don't know. Maybe Iron Man 3. I don't know what I'm thinking of, where it's just like random pieces just fly on him.
The Iron Man 2, he's at the racetrack. He's got
That's the suitcase. That's
the suitcase.
right. Yeah. But his suitcase is, in two pinholes in the back of his neck. And then yeah, JJ starts rapping, and I don't know, Michael Byerman's like, shut up, kill him. Yeah. So yeah, there's a big old fight, but then I don't know, he tosses JJ like 100 feet, and when he lands, JJ Walker's like, holy shit. And yeah, there's more fighting, and I don't know, like saw blades are tossed. There was actually one where it was like, I don't know, someone's running at him, and he at Sean, and he, or the Guyver, sorry, the Guyver now, and like clotheslines him and then like grabs him by his legs and swings him into a pole, and I'm like, fuck yeah. But now it's boss battle time, because Michael Behrman's like, enough of this horse shit, now it's time to fight me. And then I don't know, he finds the weak spot and like punches him right in the shiny spot in the middle of the forehead, and like, of course that's where the weak spot is.
Headshot.
Yeah, headshot. And then yeah, he hits it, and I don't know, he pulls out that's right, he hits the weak spot or whatever, and so Sean's like, or the Guyver's like disoriented, and he pops out those elbow blades or whatever, and he like spins around, and he ends up, oh shit, I ki he ends up killing Miski and like the lady monster, like just slashing both of them across the chest or whatever. And he's like, oh shit, what have I done? Oh no, Miski. Oh.
Whiskey.
And then the others just kind of start beating his ass while he's crying. Like, they're like, quick, curb
Yeah.
stomp his ass. Bah, 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 bah.
Kick a man while he's down.
Yeah. But then we see Max Reed, you know, he's been hiding in the corners like a real professional. And he's like sneaking up to Mizuki's corpse and is like shaking her, like, "Hey, you okay?" And of course she's like, I don't know, I must have fainted or something. I'm fine." And then that's why, yeah, Michael Barryman monster, he basically just reaches in and just pulls the entire fucking weak spot, the little pearl or whatever in the middle of his forehead, just pulls that shit right out. And of course, yeah, Sean then just fucking deflates into a pile of goo. Roll credits, guys. What do we think about the Guyver?
Not over yet.
Well, that's shorter than I thought it was
Yeah,
going to
right? It's
be.
like barely an hour.
Yeah.
So yeah, Mizuki and Max Reed, they get fucking nabbed by the baddies, and they're taken to Chronocorp or whatever. That's where we're officially introduced to the bad guy from Reanimator, but his name's Fulton Balkus. And we're kind of introduced to him as Mizuki's like passed out on a table and he's just kind of gently touching her. And I'm like, oh, geez, we're not going to get another Reanimator soon, are we?
Certainly felt like it for a minute.
Yeah. But luckily she wakes up and he's like, "Oh, hey, I'm glad you're feeling better. Hey, so I'm about to divulge the entire plot of this movie, since you weren't around for the first 3 minutes." And he starts like showing her around the lab and like, "Oh yeah, here's the blah blah blah, blah blah blah. Oh, by the way, this is Dr. East. He worked with your father a lot." And you know, Jeffrey Combs, he's like, "Oh hey, how's it going? Yes, I worked with your father. He was a great dude. Totally didn't kill him." I don't know.
Ooh, wait.
But then they start going to check out the sphere, which is the weak spot that was pulled out of the Guyver or whatever. And I don't know, they got it in some little like area where they're just trying to like analyze it or whatever. But it's starting to grow like, I don't know, tissue, like I don't know, little muscular patterns. I don't know, some sort of tissues like growing out of it. And they're like, it might be regrowing or cloning into a new Guyver. Like, oh, that's very interesting. So I guess we really don't need the daughter here anymore, do we?
Nope. Later, bitch.
Yeah. Nope. But it'd be a shame to waste all this beautiful material. Maybe we'll just turn it into one of those monster things we make. No, fetch me, leave me alone. Oh, come on, it could be just like your buddy Max here. And we see Mark Hamill, definitely not in a cryo chamber, but he's strapped up somewhere, and they're like, "Oh yeah, he's getting all the drugs he could ever want. He's having the time of his life." I don't know, but you know, when you're about to be turned into a monster, what do? Kick a guy in the nuts. Ooh!
Yeah.
And then Mizuki grabs the sphere and goes running off. And I don't know, Dr. East and the other doctor, I don't remember his name, they transform into their monster form. Ah! And there's a whole standoff where Mizuki like has the sphere and she's over, I don't know, a garbage disposal or something. And she's like, "All right, everybody, back the fuck up, or I throw this bitch in here and chomp it up." And like, no, don't do that. Don't do that, please. And yeah, what the fuck happens from here?
Well, the one of his underlings goes right for the orb and is like, "Ah, don't worry, boss, I got this." And he tries to go for it, and she chucks it, and there's a big snafu, and they end up just getting the orb, but it gets thrown into another of the Zoolord, or what the hell are they called? The Zoonotes, goes into one of their throats, and
Oh
it
yeah, that's
actually
right. They like,
causes the rebirth of the Guyver in that moment.
yeah, that's right. The one guy swallows it and he's like, "Oh, I don't feel so good." And then he like falls down, and then the shoulder blade comes out, and you get the Jaws music for like 2 beats. Da,
Yep.
da, 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 da. And then yeah,
I
full.
actually cracked up at that.
Yeah. And then yeah, full fucking Guyver comes jumping out of this guy's torso. Ah!
That's
Ah!
one way to kill a Zoonode.
Yep. And then, like, he comes out, and Mizuki's like, "Oh my God, Sean, you're alive!" And he's like, "Yeah, I came back for you." I'm like, good cover, buddy. Good cover. They're like, "You can't kill me. I've been rejected by death." And I'm like, that has to be from the original manga. That's the most Dragon Ball Z thing I've ever heard in my fucking life.
It very well could be, but I also think it was in the later anime adaptations as well. I don't know if they're pulling from the movie or from the manga with that one.
Okay. But yeah, fightings ensue, and Max Reed, he gets freed from the little chamber or whatever he's in, and then him and Miski go running off, and there's more fighting. I don't know, Miski ends up like shocking this like elephant looking monster guy. Yeah, it's like an elephant slash warthog kind of thing. Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Actually made a noise like an elephant too, multiple times.
Yeah, that was like its battle cry, just like a
Yeah.
kind of like a high pitched, like a baby elephant, like a whoosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fly also was making noise the whole time in the background.
Yeah, like a
like in every scene, it was like, all right, I'm getting
Yeah.
tired of this fly noise.
Yep. And then yeah, the elephant one gets like finished off by the Gyver, and there's like this huge fucking explosion. Boom! And that sets off the alarm, and so then there's more fighting, and yeah, it's the action scene, everybody. And then or no, that's right. No, it's right. He like finishes them up. I don't know, finishes off a couple of them, and then it's like, where'd the rest of them go? Because he only ended up killing like two of them, and like nobody's in the lab with him anymore if the alarm's going off. And then Reed's like, okay, we gotta get out of here. Oh man, I don't feel so good.
Yeah.
Babe, what happens to Mark Hamill?
Oh, he starts going full Cronenberg on us.
Yeah, sure does.
He goes
No
crab Cronenberg.
joke.
Yeah, like a crab cockroach Cronenberg kind of thing. It's pretty fucking sweet.
Was one of the best special effects scenes in this whole movie. It almost is well worth it by itself just to watch the movie for that.
Right. And with these costumes and stuff, I'm like, man, is the 4K going to make it better? Or is it going to be like, oh, I see the zippers now. God damn it.
We'll have to wait and see. But the cut I was watching on archive is supposedly the director's cut and a bit cleaned up and looked pretty good to me that way. And I didn't see too many things. Like the only thing that kind of threw me like earlier in the movie was the movie scene. I completely forgot about it because I'm like, oh, I see a gaffer standing there helping somebody get down from the wall. And then I realized, oh, it's the movie scene.
Nice. Yeah, so yeah, well, he's turned the cockroach thing, like the this I don't know, the one of the monsters comes jumping up, and Miski hits it with like a microscope or whatever, and
Yep.
he just falls over dead or knocked out or whatever. I don't know. I'm sorry, Michael Behrman like ends up grabbing the Gyver from behind, and then he, I don't know, he gets a shit ton of elbow blades to the guts. Fuck, 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 fuck. But then he also, oh God, he like turns around and is like, now it's my turn, bonehead, and rips his fucking skull open. And
Yep.
I'm like, is this movie R or PG-13? Like, language wise, I think there's shit's only been said once.
Yes.
A lot of like boneheads and meanies. I don't know, but it's also like, oh, and then I eviscerate this. A full person jumped out of that guy's torso and his skull got ripped open. Yeah. Kind of sweet. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. Mark Hamill, he's transforming into that cockroach thing. But before he dies, like, Sean, you gotta stop him. You're the last chance. And then Dr. Balkas, he shows up, and he's like, yeah, oh, that's right. He has like a hold of Miski now because, yeah, Guy was distracted.
Yep.
And Guy was like, no, let her go. Like, yeah, sure. I'll trade you the girl for the Gyver. No dice. All right, cool. Well, then I guess we have to fight because it's big boss battle time, even though I'm just a regular old human. You can just come and try to attack me, right? So yeah, the Gyver drop kicks the fucking Falkus or whatever his name is through the fucking door. But then he transforms into a Zoolord. Who wants to try to describe this Zoolord?
Oh man. This is if you let the guys who design all the bad guys on Power Rangers design a Mardi Gras float.
Oh shit. All right.
And put a dragon head on it.
It's like a dragon head, but it also has like antlers and shit
And it has
on it.
backwards human legs on the
Yeah.
back that are
Yeah.
like in cricket shape.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking sweet.
It's amazing. It's absolutely fucking
And it's
amazing.
also too big for the like double door that he was just kicked through. So
Yeah.
it's like a quarter size of this lab and just like chasing the Guyver around. And the Guyver's like trying to hit it, but everything just like bounces off. It's like, oh shit, what am I gonna do? But then he pulls out the elbow blade and gets him in the eye around a corner. And then he jumps on the back and yeah, I don't know. Oh, that's right. Eventually the Zoolord like gets him pinned and is like reaching down to like pull the sphere or whatever out of his forehead again. But as he's doing it, the Guyver's chest starts to open, a little light starts coming out, and then fucking photon cannon! Boom! Just an Iron Man photon cannon blast just blasts this Zoolord like through the doors, out of the lab, through a fucking wall, boom, giant fucking explosion. And everybody's like, what the hell happened? Like, I don't know. I guess the suit protected me. But
And it didn't do that earlier.
yeah. And then I don't know, Miski like starts like, I don't know, like she's like a little scared at first, but then like starts comforting Sean, like, oh, I'm sorry, I look like a monster. Like, man, you're actually not that bad compared to what else I've seen today.
You know, I've seen a lot of grotesque things today, and at least you're not Mark Hamill.
Yeah,
This is
that's
true.
right. Throwing shade at Mark Max Reed. No. But yeah, she starts coming to him, then all of a sudden he just starts transforming back to Sean. But of course, you know, he doesn't have clothes on because
Yeah.
all those ripped off when he turned into the Guyver.
Sir, where are
Oh,
your
she checked
pants?
him out.
Oh,
Oh
yeah.
yeah.
She did a long look up and down.
Yep. And then yeah, they kiss and she's like, here, have a lab coat. You look kind of cold.
And I was
Yeah,
joking, yeah, but still not quite long enough for the dong, because it turns out
exactly.
he's a bit taller.
Yeah.
I was totally waiting for him to like they like do the stand up and walk off, and it's like he's Porky Pig in that shit. Like, but no, they walk off, and then I don't know, cut to the other side of the lab where JJ Walker and the only other black guy in this movie, the FBI agent. They're just sitting there talking like, oh man, do you see how we almost died there? Hey, I may have a job for you. Jeff, what does JJ Walker say?
Oh, crud. I actually didn't write that down. I don't
Oh
remember.
shit. He's you know, it's JJ Walker still in the mutant form or whatever, but he's like, ah, dynamite.
Oh, God damn it. I knew
And then
that.
roll credits, guys. That's the Guyver.
That's the Guyver.
The
Jeff, would you recommend this movie?
Yeah, if you're looking for a no intelligence kind of popcorn flick, this is perfect. It's very 90s. So if you were a fan of like say even Power Rangers to a point, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and if you're a fan of just B movies in general, this is exactly the B movie genre film you want to check out. Mark Hamill hams it up a ton, but there's enough to enjoy out of this. It feels like the movie just didn't know what it wanted to be. And of course, it suffered the cuts from like the studio or whomever, because there's two different cuts. There's a theatrical and a director's cut, which is why at times you feel like, man, there's a lot of gore and there's one swear word. Well, in the theatrical version, you don't actually get the swear word at all. And you don't actually get much of the gore. So you can kind of see where that comes from. And I don't know. I would recommend it. Now, if you're going to ask me, like, legitimately, how do I feel as a film fan? Yeah, this doesn't get above a 4 out of 10.
What?
4 out of 5. You heard it from Jeff. Oh, out of 10.
Out of 10. But on the popcorn scale, I'll give this a Dune popcorn bucket score. Fill it to the
Nice.
brim.
Ooh. Are you excited to fuck that bucket?
You know I am.
Steve's gonna already got his dick in
That's right.
it.
God damn it. I thought I had the camera off.
About you, babe? Would you recommend this movie?
Oh my God, yes. This movie is all entertainment. The costumes are fucking phenomenal. The karate's all right.
Yeah. Guys, I would say something like, oh man, this movie needs to be redone and blah, blah, blah. It already has. It's called The Blue Beetle. If you saw that shit last
This is
year,
true.
it's strikingly similar, at
Are the
least.
Very
Costumes as
true.
good? Do we get an
It's all
angry
C
catfish
it's all
lizard?
CGI
Oh, well,
bullshit. And
then it automatically loses
yeah. Well,
loses stars.
so that's it about this movie. Like, there are some great things in this movie, mostly the costumes. Like, yeah, Mark Hamill's good as the kind of
The straight man?
the questionable detective kind of thing.
Right?
But then it's like, okay, I don't know who the fuck Jack Armstrong is, but I assume he didn't do much after this as the main guy. Why the fuck is J.J. Walker in this movie in 1991?
I know, right?
Like, literally anybody else. Like, I assume they were turned down by everybody else because they were like, no, we're going to put you in this costume. You might die. But, like, I don't know. You replace J.J. Walker with, fuck, Dougie Fresh or someone, I don't know, someone else.
Ooh.
DJ Jazzy Jeff.
There you go. He
No.
needed some work.
JB Smoove.
Yeah, JB Smoove. I'm trying to think back in 91, but yeah.
Yeah.
Jaleel White.
I
Yeah, but I don't know. But like everything else, just it's, I don't know. I look at the lens of like, oh, it was in 91. So it was like before, like as far as comic book movies and stuff like that on screen, it's like what? Howard the Duck, Batman 89 had just kind of come out probably when this was shot. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to set on a shelf getting edited for like 2 or 3 years. Like, but it's that time frame where everybody's still just trying to figure out how to bring something like that to the screen. And then let's face it, it's a little out there.
It's very out there. But I
But
think that's what gives it a charm to it. So,
yeah. It's not boring, I'll give it that.
no, yeah, no.
Yeah, and then we'll take a quick commercial break. Oh, but when we come back, we have more beer, fun facts,
Oh
and what we learn from the Giver.
my God. The giver.
Hey everybody, are you looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for the holidays? Do you like supporting the arts? Well then you need to check out untidyvenus.etsy.com, the top one-stop shop that always pops her top. Are you a fan of dinosaurs? Snacks? Dinosaurs made out of snacks? Movie monsters? Unicorns? Cats? Dogs? Rats? Shrimp? Pokemon? Tie-dye? Paracord bracelets? Paracord dog leashes? Enamel pins? Coloring books? Block prints? Watercolor? Pet portraits? Buttons, magnets, stickers, bottle openers, artist trading cards, or really anything else that's awesome? Then stop on by untidyvenus.etsy.com. That's a goddess who's bad at housekeeping.etsy.com. New items are popping up all the time, so be sure to follow her on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon at untidyvenus. Or visit her website at izzycreates.com for the latest. Did I mention the Snackosaurs? How about Gary the Unicorns? untidyvenus.etsy.com, the goddess who's bad at housekeeping. Check it out now.
Hi guys, we interrupt your favorite podcast to interrupt you with an ad for your new favorite podcast.
Wait, isn't this playing on somebody else's show?
Exactly.
So then how are we I thought we were their new favorite podcast.
Well, we're going to become their new favorite podcast after they hear this advertisement for our show. What's our show called, Justine?
Superiority Complex.
Yeah, where can they find us, Patrick?
Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. You can go to at Soup Complex on Twitter, SOUP Complex, and you can go to facebook.com/soupcomplex. But our main page is on Podbean, and you can find us there at www.superioritycomplex.podbean.com. New episodes are out every Thursday. Justine,
yes.
What do we talk about on the Superiority Complex?
Nerdy stuff.
Perfect.
Don't get all sensual with your voice.
Yeah, did you hear that?
I heard it. It's a little inappropriate.
If you want to hear a little more of that, tune in to the Superiority Complex. One more time, Justine, what do we talk about?
Nerdy stuff.
Nah, wasn't the same. You tried.
There's so many podcasts out there. How do I find the one for me?
For so long, I've searched for podcasts all over, but none of them seem to fit my needs. Where's my Nick Cage Pissing Fire podcast? Where's my Monkey Tickling? I couldn't find it anywhere. Until I found the Everything I Learned from Movies podcast with Steve and Izzy. And now I get to hear about all the monkey tickling I want, baby.
So many podcasts out there are all talk and no Congo. That's why I listen to Everything I Learned from Movies.
Greatest Living Actor? Nicolas Cage, of course. That's why I listen to Everything I Learned from Movies.
One-liners, plot holes, gratuitous boobies? Fun fact, that's why I listen to Everything I Learned from Movies.
See if Everything I Learned from Movies is right for you at EILF Movies, that's Everything I Learned from Movies, on Twitter, Facebook, or Patreon. Free on all the major podcatchers.
Hi, this is Johnny C. McGinley, and you're listening to Everything I Learned from Movies. All the best.
And we're back.
Oh my God, Steve, those are the greatest ads that ever added in the history of adding.
Oh, she said it.
Make it better.
Ah, babe, I don't know about you. Mm-hmm. I'm a little thirsty.
Oh, I'm still sober. Let's fix this. Today was a day.
Oh, yeah. Well, this'll fuck, this'll do the trick, babe. From Revision Brewing Company, we have Tickle Machine.
Oh no. I don't like this already.
An Imperial Stout with coffee. When harvesting coffee cherries, what? It's important not to damage the woody evergreens on which they grow. A gentle tickle is all it takes to shake them loose. The base of this rich imperial stout is laden with the notes of espresso and dark chocolate, then taken to the next level with a blend of expertly roasted Guatemalan and Sumatran coffee beans.
Already?
10.2% alcohol by volume. Now we're talking.
Oh, give it over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's just the tip.
That's a tickle my machine. And the top?
Oh.
Nice. Whoop.
Ooh. Being at high altitude makes these beers very full.
Yeah. And the pour? Oh.
Oh, that is a very dark beer. It has a little bit of brown highlights and a good khaki-colored head. Lots of very fine bubbles that Never appear to be dissipating.
Dissipating quickly.
Smells like coffee and bourbon.
Mmm. Just how I like my coffee.
Yeah, full bourbon. Steve's gone in for the sip.
Would you say that's a strong bourbon, by the way? Because my wife is very big into like stouts like that, but she's not the biggest like bourbon fan.
Oh, yeah. If you like bourbon, or not a huge fan of bourbon, but you like a good, sorry, beer, a Scotch ale is the way to go.
Yeah.
You can find
a good, I've gotten like, her to get into those a little bit. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically like a watered down version of Scotch, but
yeah. Also, I would recommend have her check out the breakfast stouts. Mm. They don't tend to be as bourbony because they often include oatmeal, so they have a good thick mouth feel, and they tend to be more the like chocolate and coffee.
Awesome.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if Steve told you or not. We are certified beer judges. We're BJCP certified.
Yeah.
Yep, I remember that from when we did the Last Dragon.
But yeah, this beer is rich, decadent, delicious. Yeah, coffee and chocolate for days. Yeah.
You know what? It's more bourbon on the nose than on the mouth. It's more like a good dark chocolate or semi-sweet chocolate on the mouth.
It just has that little aftertaste like from the hint and the aroma that's kind of bourbony, a little bit of that peat note. I don't know. Mm. That's Revision Brewing Tickle Machine.
I love that name.
Would either of you be interested in any fun facts about this movie?
I don't know. Steve, yes. Are they fun facts? Super fun facts because of fun facts.
Well, let's find out. All right, guys. Rotten Tomatoes. Spoilers. Critics and audience are basically the same.
Did anyone review this movie?
Well, they did. Jeff, what do you think?
A legitimate critic?
What do you think? The real critics thought of the Guyver.
I did not check this. I never check this for our own movie reviews when we do them. I'm going to give the think that the critics went about 32%.
32? Is he?
I think the critics don't get it. And I think there's going to be a bunch of annoying people on the internet who didn't get it. So unfortunately, I am going to go with my very generous 17%.
Jeff is closest. It's 40% with the critics and 39% with the audience. So
good.
Huh.
Yeah. I couldn't find anything about the budget or worldwide gross or whatever, but
movies from that time are pretty sketch with the budget information.
Yeah. I don't know if it was released in theaters or anything either. Like it might just be a straight to DVD or something. But Jeffrey Combs plays Dr. East, and of course in Reanimator he played a character, Dr. Herbert West. His boss was played by David Gale, who also was in Reanimator
1985. Yeah.
Fulton Balkis is named after Hamilcar Barkis from the Japanese manga. He was one of the 12 Zoolords and a top scientist from Kronos. And the character Lisker is named after Oswald A. Lisker, a character from the original Japanese comic. Lisker, by the way, is the Michael Barryman. That's right.
Okay.
Who was a martial arts expert who tried to stop the Guyver using another Guyver. There you go. Didn't get martial artist from Michael Barryman's character, but, you know, still imposing.
Yeah.
By the way, having seen like interviews with him and like a bunch of extra like DVD extras and stuff like that, Michael Barryman seems like the sweetest motherfucker you could ever hope to meet.
Right?
But, yeah, oh yeah.
But he's also a giant and like, you know, has pronounced features, we'll say, that make him prone to star in horror movies. Yeah.
But he often plays like, he either plays a hardcore badass or he plays like the softy.
Yeah, true.
I'm thinking of you, Voyage of the Rock Aliens.
Movie's so fucking good. How did we never
know that before? I love that. Yeah, like, I'm mad we didn't know about it.
Here's the thing about that movie. I had never heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
I still knew, like, three of the songs from the soundtrack somehow. You even though they were buried. I was like, wait a minute, where did I hear these?
You were singing along the first time we watched it and looking confused.
Yeah, I'm like, well, how do... And I'm like, sort of thinking, did my dad have the VHS of this? Like, no, there's no fucking way.
Did your dad have the soundtrack?
I mean, maybe a tape or something, but I don't know.
The A track.
Yeah. but we've reached the most important part. Oh, topping off my wife. Yep. There we go.
Everything I learned from topping off my beer.
Everything I learned from making my wife happy. All right, but
hey, happy wife, happy life.
That's right. Exactly.
What did we learn from the Guyver? Jeff, as our guest, would you like to go first?
Sure. What did I learn from the Guyver? I learned that even if I look like a typical white guy, I can have kung fu skills that rival nobody. And I can take on the Demon Lords if I can find a Voltron lunchbox down the street. So I am all on board with that message, and I would love to do that. But in all honesty, what did I learn from this movie? Hey, it's a fun movie. Like, clearly the cast and crew had a fun, fantastic time. And that's what you want out of a movie, because it comes across on the screen, whether it's like references to like RoboCop. You even got some cast members from RoboCop Part 2 in this, who's the FBI agent at the end. He's the crappy, shady mayor.
RoboCop Part 2. I thought that's who that was. Yeah.
Yep. And they even drop references to like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So there's a love for these kind of genre movies in here. And overall, it just what it tells you is, if you love movies and you just love having a good time, this is the one for you. And that's what you want to get. If that's a life lesson, just love making movies and just stick to it. That's what I learned from this movie.
Excellent. Babe, how about you?
Oh, I mean, I learned that unfortunately an angry catfish just can't take on an oversized gremlin.
It did kind of look like Spike from okay. I can see that. I learned you can make a movie entirely around the costumes. You really it's possible. I also learned, pay attention, pat, otherwise you get popped in the face.
Yeah.
Oh, I also learned, I was dead, but I came back for you.
Nice. It's the power of love.
It's the power of love.
There you go.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us here on Everything I Learned from Movies. I understand you also have a podcast that you're going to invite us on to talk Tracker one day.
Absolutely. I know you guys have been talking about that. We have Sons and Shadows podcast. We talk about classic, cult classic television shows. We also have a little YouTube channel going on where we talk about like cult classic movies. Just had Event Horizon pop out just now.
Oh.
And We have a live stream we got going on too, and you guys are always welcome to join us. So once a week, we have a little live stream. We're kind of figuring out what day we want that on, but if anybody wants to check us out, just come find us at sunsandshadows.com. We're on all the social media at Sons and Shadows or Sons and Shadows Cast. Just look for the little image of a TV that looks like it's in the middle of the desert. That is us.
Yeah.
Excellent. Babe, are you on social media at all?
I am. You can find me everywhere at Untidy Venus, like a goddess who's bad at housekeeping. I'm on all the social medias, including the new Blueskies. Steve, where can we find you?
Oh, you can find us everywhere at all the major podcatchers under Everything I Learned from Movies, or hit us up directly on Twitter, Facebook, Patreon, or Blueski at EILF Movies. That's Everything I Learned from Movies. Yeah, we're right in the middle of murky March, and guys, you know it's coming. It's that time of year. April is upon us. Just in time for, I don't know, Godzilla X Kong, the new empire, right before Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Guys, this is the year of Steve, anyway.
Year of Ape.
Year of Ape.
Year of
It's going to be great, guys.
Steve, I got to find you one of those 90s t-shirts where it's sort of like a monochromatic tie-dye and then it just has the ape face in the middle. Do you remember those? It was usually like a baby baboon or a chimpanzee.
Mm. I think I know what you're talking about.
You know the ones my Uncle Don wore the wolf
yeah,
one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Your dad, I think, also had the wolf one.
Yeah, wolf one. I think I had an eagle one too. Yeah. I don't know if I like this idea, but let me think about it now. Pay attention. We're gonna have some great guests on coming up. A lot of fun. You know how we do. I guess until next time, I'm Steve.
And I'm Izzy.
And I'm Jeff.
And this is Everything I Learned from Movies. Have a great night, everybody.
Night, all.